This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, wrapping things up with 91-year-old Leon Christensen of Clovis, California. We're going to hear briefly from his son and grandson before we're done, but let's pick up where we left off with your ship, the battleship USS Texas, when you finished your duties at Iwo Jima.
After we were through there, we went to Okinawa and helped establish a beachhead for our soldiers to land there. And that was the Army then. There was strictly Marines on the first assault on Iwo Jima.
Right.
But the Army, I think, was what landed on Okinawa.
Now, you made reference earlier when we were talking about Cherbourg and how your ship was hit there. You said you didn't really remember being scared.
No, I don't. I remember other people being scared.
Sure.
But I didn't, to me, I think it's because I was so young, I didn't realize what was happening as much as some of the older fellows.
I wonder, too, because you've described your church, long involvement at People's Church, and you mentioned the Sunday school class you're still a part of. Was your faith something that helped you during this time?
You know, I was brought up in a Christian home, a very devout Christian home, where we had family worship every morning before we went to school. After the chores were done, we'd come in and have a family worship. We'd sing some hymns and pray. Dad would read a piece in the Bible. I had all this upbringing, but I never had made a decision for myself. I couldn't call myself a real Christian at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But because of my upbringing, I believed in God, and I knew I had people back home praying for me. And all of this was a comfort to me. It's a strange thing, Paul. You know, after I got home on leave between the European campaign and the Pacific campaign, I was home for 30 days. The first thing my mother asked me, what I was doing on the morning that we were bombarding Cherbourg. I told her that on this particular morning, what were you doing? And I said, we were bombarding Cherbourg, and that's where we got hit. She says, you know, I had on that morning, she said, I had a strange feeling that you needed prayer, so I prayed for you. And I always like to think that God intervened through my mother's prayer.
So she, without knowing where you were, threw out a date.
Yeah.
June
25th. Feeling that she had that I needed prayer.
You know, you're about the third or fourth veteran who's told me a very similar story to that.
Is that right?
That their mother was stirred to pray.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And this is the day where that unexploded shell was found in a compartment next to yours.
That's right.
Connect the dots, huh?
Well, think what you want, but it could be God's hand.
Is that what you think?
I think it very well could be.
So, you're in Europe, you're in the Pacific, Iwo Jima, Okinawa, and you're on your way home when you hear of the first atomic bomb?
Yes, we were probably a few days out of San Francisco. I was home when they dropped the second one, and that was a big, big night. Everybody was downtown celebrating in Fresno, and the war was over.
VJ Day you're talking about, so...
VJ Day.
In August of 45, you were back in Fresno.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people listening in Fresno now are curious what Fresno was like on that night.
Wild.
Yeah?
Yeah.
People running out in the streets or what?
Oh, yes. Navy was exchanging uniforms with the Army and so on, doing crazy things. But it was a big celebration.
Was it a relief to you?
That the
war was over?
Yes.
Because you hadn't been discharged.
No. I had my leave. That's when I fell in love with my would-be wife.
Yeah, let's hear that story. So here you're a musician. You'd played your violin in church, and any time you did, you had the same accompanist on the piano?
Yes, I did.
And her name was Roxy?
Roxy.
And you thought the world of her, but she had a boyfriend?
That was the problem. She had he was a soldier, a lieutenant in the Army.
Uh-huh.
And I knew him very well. They were always to church together, and we just thought that was a deal. My aunt told me that... Well, maybe it isn't as close a deal as you think. Maybe you can go double dating, which we did. We went out and played miniature golf. I called her, and she accepted my invitation. I think we fell in love on that first night. It was a wonderful evening we had, and we went and got something to eat after we played. And I saw her every night after that.
Every night of your leave?
Every night of my leave.
So it was music that brought you together?
Yes. She was such a talented person. Artists would come to town and request that she accompany them. Might be at our church, it might be somebody else's church, but she was that kind of a musician.
Well, it's just a guess, but I'd guess that your four children and your six grandchildren are glad your aunt encouraged you to pursue Roxy.
I hope so. I'm sure they are.
And I know they're thankful that you survived World War II through all those close calls. When you think back on it now, what grabs you the most or amazes you the most about what you experienced and how you survived it all?
Well, boy, that's a tough one, Paul. I think the time I was the most scared was off the coast of Iwo Jima when the kamikaze planes. You see, we were a large armada of ships there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the big ships, like the battleships and the carriers, in the middle, and all the other ships around were destroyers, destroyer escorts, and they were the ones that were responsible for keeping our big ships safe and shooting down the planes as they would come in. And I remember a bunch of kamikaze planes. They lined up one behind the other, line, and one would get in so far, and they'd shoot them down, the next one get a little farther, and finally they sometimes get to their target. And we had a very close call. A plane almost got to us.
Somebody shot it down?
Mm-hmm. But they're loaded with explosives, and they could cause a lot of damage. And a lot of ships went down from these kamikaze planes. That sticks out in my mind very vividly. Another thing that sticks out in my mind that I'll never forget is the armada of ships that I saw off the coast of Normandy, Omaha Beach. I never ever thought I'd see that many ships.
And pretty staggering, huh?
Yes, it is.
Well, before I forget, I want to say thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us a story that nobody else could tell. You know, and I've interviewed a lot of veterans who served in the Pacific and encountered the Japanese, and some of them still have a problem with any Japanese-made cars. But I know that wasn't an issue for you, because maybe some people listening remember hearing your voice on the Clausen Honda commercials when you were the general manager there saying, give me your tagline.
You'll be impressed.
I think they've heard that voice before. So obviously, no hard feelings for you there if you were selling so many Hondas over the years. We talked about the honor flight and how that brought some things back around. I'm curious for you, have you ever looked at that photo in the Saturday Evening Post there? The photo of you on the deck of your battleship carrying this wounded Ranger on a stretcher and wondered if he survived? What happened to him?
Yes, I've wondered. I don't know. Because after I took him down to the hospital area, I never saw him again. And so I really don't know what happened to him.
So he could be one of those more than 400,000 who are represented by those gold stars you talked about.
That's right. I know that he was not conscious when we were carrying him down. I tried to talk to him, and I couldn't get anything out of him. And he was one of those Rangers. They're the first ones in, you know. They were heroes, those people were. A lot of heroes in the war, but these men went in first. Sneaked in, you know, didn't even get noticed.
Well, and I know some of these questions aren't easy to answer, but I think, again, of your four kids, your six grandkids, and all the rest of us who weren't around during World War II, weren't around to see all the things that you saw. What do you think we need to remember about all those men that you served with and why you guys did what you did?
Well, you know, that war was a very personal war with the United States because we were attacked. We were helping in the European war before that with supplies and ammunition against Hitler. But when we got attacked on our own property, it became a very personal thing, I think. The feeling that we had was so much patriotism among the people, the general public, and the people that were involved, like myself. We just loved our country, and we just, I know that when we were in battle even, I'd think, you know, and we were taught to hate our enemy, and I hated the Japanese at that time. Some of my best friends are Japanese today.
What changed?
I think growing up and realizing that it wasn't the people that were doing this. It was their leaders that mm-hmm. were doing it.
What keeps you going? 91 years old. Everyone can hear how sharp you are. I know you're still mm-hmm. playing music. What is it that keeps you going?
Well, I am a happy man in the first place. I have a wonderful family and wonderful friends. I keep busy. I'm always doing something. I love to visit people that can't get out. I come away feeling real good hoping they feel good too.
You ever play your violin for them?
A group in our church goes to every third Sunday. We go to Horizon Nursing Home, and we hold a little service at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I play my violin there.
You're still doing that?
I'm not doing it right now, but I'm going to start doing it again. That's why I got out my violin. I'm starting to practice again.
Uh-huh.
I haven't played for quite a while. It's getting lazy, I guess.
But I keep
busy and active, and I'll do that as long as I can.
Well, I hope that's a long, long time. And here's someone else who feels that way, Leon's son, Dan Christensen, who has gotten to do something that his dad hasn't, visit the USS Texas, where it's on display in Houston. You even saw that huge unexploded shell that could have claimed your dad's life. What was that like?
Actually, it was pretty emotional. I can remember driving in the parking lot that day. It was in the Houston Ship Channel. To see it in the conning tower that Dad had talked about so often, and to walk on board, it seemed like a live ship. You could still smell the oil, and I can remember a fellow who served on the Texas. He said, "There's nothing like gun smoke and blood that brings men together." It was just like I was kind of reliving it. The 14-inch guns, the quad 40s, the 20 millimeters, and I'd seen pictures of the Texas in action. It was almost like a ghost ship. You could still see the sailors out there fighting. And like Dad talked about, the kamikaze airplanes. I embarrassed my wife at the time because I got on a quad 40 and I was pretending like I was shooting down Zeros. And you could still sit on them and you could still elevate the guns up and down. Of course, as we grow older, you learn to appreciate just exactly what these guys did for our country. You know, they'd come through a depression and all of a sudden found themselves thrust into one of the greatest conflicts known to man to this date, World War II. And I know that your father served in both theaters. A lot of his friends did. You'd made mention of the Kiwanis Club of East Fresno, and a lot of my friends had served in the Second World War and that also. And to be able to talk to these guys, and of course when you're little, they're your role model and your mentors, and I think for children that were born in my generation, we were very, very lucky to have that.
No question. I can see how you feel about your dad. And for you, I don't want to be melodramatic, you mentioned being on that ship and almost feeling what it was like to be on that ship in World War II. But when you saw that unexploded bomb, did it hit you that you might not be here if that thing had gone off?
I've heard the story so many times, and like I said, it was an emotional experience. I can remember I didn't have a cell phone. This was quite a few years ago. There was a volunteer on the ship, and I said, I'd like to use your telephone. I'd like to call my dad and tell him that I'm on his ship. He says, "Well, we don't ordinarily allow that." I said, "Well, my dad fought in 4 major battles on this ship.
Mm-hmm.
He's still alive, and I'd like to be able to tell him that I'm standing on it as we speak." So he allowed me to do that. And again, that was kind of emotional.
Probably tears on both ends of that one.
Well, actually, they had movies playing on the ship at the time, and they actually showed the battle. And the gentleman, Mr. Christensen, that was killed in that battle, showed his picture, showed the damage that was done to the conning tower, and to know that your dad was there, and now I'm there. It actually is the oldest remaining battleship still afloat, and I would recommend for anybody who's listening out there, if they ever get close to Houston, Texas, by all means, make the trip.
Well, I think they have an extra reason to do so after hearing your dad's story. Anything else you want to say about him?
You know, Dad's generation's commonly referred to as the greatest generation of our country. And because of men and women like my father and my mother that went through all that for us so we could have a future, pretty amazing.
Amen. And if we're going to get 2 generations, why not make it 3? Leon's grandson, Daniel DeVoe, was his guardian on a Central Valley honor flight to Washington, D.C. I bet you saw a whole new side of your grandpa.
Well, that was what's crazy is, like, you know, growing up, he never really talked about his experience during the war. I think he's just pretty private about it. And, you know, which was totally understandable. But during that experience, just being around the other vets, it definitely brought a lot out of him. You know, he was more comfortable, and he just started sharing stories, and it was like I wasn't even there. And it blew my mind, the stuff that they were all sharing together. And then ever since then, he's been a lot more open with me and just every day I learned something new from him. I think that Iwo Jima was probably the most breathtaking experience that I remember from the trip. But, I mean, every single memorial was incredible. You know, you can't put it into words. It was my first trip to D.C., which was incredible because I got to be with my grandpa there. But, every single war memorial was really cool. The World War II memorial was awesome. You know, like how he was saying earlier about how each star represented, you know, a certain number of lost soldiers. And, yeah, it was great.
So you'd recommend it for somebody else who's got a grandpa going?
Oh, absolutely.
Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. No question.
And again, I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but if this is how your mind works, I think it's relevant to talk about. Is there any part of that experience where you say, you know, I would have never been born if he didn't come home from the war?
The whole time. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because the odds were, you know, I mean, if you look at all the soldiers that we lost during that time, I mean, it was stacked against them all. And there's just so many different, and like the story he was talking about how his mom, you know, prayed for him on that day. And if that had not happened, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a miracle, the whole situation. And, you know, everything worked out right.
Does it make you look at your own life a little differently?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm blessed to be here, and I'm blessed to have parents that I have and an uncle that I have and absolutely the grandpa that I have.
Anything else you want to say about him?
Just that I love him, and I'm glad he's here, and I'm glad I got to go with him on the honor flight, and he shared a story today, and it was incredible.
Hard to argue with that, and pretty neat to get perspective from three generations of a special family today. We're out of time, but don't forget to check out all those photos on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page and sign up the veteran in your life for that free honor flight experience. Thanks for listening to Hometown Heroes. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.